You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You say you want a revolution.
What is up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I am your host, Mark Becker. Sorry about last week, guys. We had a guest and they canceled like last minute, literally last minute. So we had a good rerun. But you know what? No rerun this week. Let me tell you. And we've got a star-studded show. Not me, but we've got Rep. Francesca. Oh, first place, Francesca Hong. Whoa. Holy cow. Three polls in a row. What up? How
it's
you been?
Nice to have a three-peat, but no complacency. I'm doing all right. I think spring may be here, and hopefully I didn't just jinx it. But yeah, we're holding up. We're holding
that
up.
That sucked. That snowstorm sucked.
It was not awesome.
That was not awesome. But yeah, I think the last time that we talked, you were in studio on the show, and I mean. Ever since, like I've obviously followed you on all the socials, but like you are everywhere. You were making calls from a bathroom. I saw that. You're at a restaurant calling people that left their phone number. Like, yeah.
Hustling. We have to out hustle the field. I need to meet as many people as possible and get that FaceTime, have a real conversation with a real person, and that helps me be relatable.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you're relatable as it is, but like, how is that going for you? Like, I mean, obviously the polls are showing that your message is connecting with folks.
It is, and so is our grassroots powered campaign. I mean, none of this happens without the thousands of volunteers who have signed up to be on Team Hong. And so when you have a campaign that works as hard as ours and you've got all these amazing ambassadors talking about our campaign, it's been really, really amazing. And I think my favorite parts are when I meet parents whose kids have sent them to our events to meet me and either haven't heard of me or are kind of skeptical or just don't like want to be involved in politics at all. And they get excited that their kid is. And in Wausau, I remember a young person, he's 15, brought his mom to this really great cafe we were at, Kin and Kind. And I think she was excited that her kid was excited. And I was just stoked to get to meet her.
That's cool. Yeah, and like, It's neat to see your message, really connecting with people. And that's got to feel good to kind of see the validation in the polls and all of that. I don't think I asked you when you were here last, but what was the moment when you knew you had to do this?
I think a pivotal moment was when I had the conversation with my son. George is 9 years old, and I had been thinking about it. I've been making the calls to folks that I trust on whether or not this was the moment where a candidate like me needed to run, not just that I wanted to run. And when George gave me the green light, because he was like, well, does this mean we might get, free lunches at our schools? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I think there are a lot of people in Wisconsin who want that too.
Yeah.
So that and when my family agreed was all systems go after that.
You're like, all right, baby, let's freaking do this. What do you think, what is driving the support that you're seeing right now?
I think it's that I love alliteration. It's chaos, crisis, and change. A lot of times when folks are in this almost grieving time of uncertainty, we kind of knee jerk is that I'm sure everyone just like wants to figure out how to get, stable. But right now, especially, people want change and they're fed up. And there is this unifying, like we're uniting against a common villain, right? Mm. And that's authoritarianism. It's also the billionaires and everything that comes with authoritarianism, taking away people's freedoms and their ability to just live the life that they want. And so when there's bipartisan opposition, there's actually a demand for change. So I think meeting that demand, talking about permanent affordability, that we need a systems overhaul, folks are like, yeah, I think I could be down with that. This, I was saying there's like little revolutions happening everywhere. And I think it's going to lead to the big one. And, you know, plug the rational revolution. I think that's what folks want too.
Thanks. Well, you know, and like, I do. I think that, you know, this is a time where big things can happen. You look at the state Senate district that Mar-a-Lago is in, and the woman who won the state Senate district wanted a message of affordability, health care. I mean, it was like, and you know, fair taxes and all. Like, there's a lot. There's a huge wave that's coming, I believe.
Trump has a Democratic senator.
It's so funny. Oh my God, that's amazing. He's like, it's not because of me. Now, we're talking about State Rep. Francesca Hong, who's running for governor. Sometimes leading early in the polls makes you a bigger target. Does that change strategy? Does that change the approach?
It doesn't change the way that we're campaigning. It does, however, require us to have some responses ready for the attacks. But we have run a positive, you know, almost joyful, exciting campaign that, you know, people see our vision and they see themselves in it. And I think that's what's most important, is that folks have to feel like they're a part of your vision and your plan. And then they're down to learn more.
Yeah. What do you, like, when you're talking to voters all over, what are the things that they're saying?
Yes, costs are rising. Healthcare is inaccessible. Folks are having to make choices around, do I pay my utility bill this month or do I pay my phone bill? Why is my water bill doubled? Healthcare, public schools, and the big hot topic right now are AI data centers. And I think there's like issues that have so much bipartisan opposition, and then issues like healthcare, like grocery costs, that folks are just feeling like they're trapped.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you're talking about education too, because there's 72 referendums right now just this year about public school funding. And it, like, I mean, I know where we are, it seems like the districts have to go to referendum almost every other year.
Yeah.
Because their budgets are getting siphoned off by these voucher schools.
Yeah.
What can be done about that? Like, how does that change?
Well, first we have to remember that, you know, property taxes are going up. Schools are having to go to referenda because the Republicans in the legislature have abdicated their duty to fund our public schools. Yes. It is in the Constitution. It's why the state legislature is being sued right now. And there's a lawsuit against the legislature because we have not upheld our constitutional responsibility to fund public schools. And I think that we have to look first at reimbursing special education and then have a plan for sunsetting vouchers. We cannot afford to fund two different school systems.
No, that's ridiculous.
And public dollars belong in public schools. You know, there's little history. The voucher program was actually born in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And it was born because we have underserved our Black and Brown students, our lower income students. And it was meant to be an avenue for, you know, families and to have an alternative, right? Another option. But you ask Howard Fuller himself, like, this is not what he wanted, was a privatization of our public school systems. And it is what is being pushed from the regime, in addition to what the Republicans have pushed for years. Public education is one of our last remaining democratic institutions. So you undermine public schools, you're undermining democracy. And so changing the school funding formula and sunsetting vouchers has to be a long-term plan. But in the immediate, we have to look at reimbursing special education and making sure that schools have two-thirds funding from the state. And that will give, like, what's so needed as well is to make sure that schools have they can forecast their budgets, right? Like that they're, mm-hmm. that they know that there's stable funding coming through and that can actually write their budgets, because they know that there's predictable funding. So it's paramount that we change the school funding formula and sunset these voucher programs, because it's mostly a scam.
It is. And it's so sad. And it's frustrating here in Northeast Wisconsin. Like, we have schools that are going to referendum. Green Bay schools are having to make some really difficult decisions, you know, between funding the arts or not giving teachers raises and all of that. And meanwhile, we have a school that, like, looks like freaking Hogwarts, you know, it's like a castle. And, you know, and like, it's not okay.
It's not fair.
No.
And it's, when I look at the, I think it's over $7 billion that have gone to this program, and it's costing us millions of dollars a year. And when folks see how much of their tax dollars are going to fund vouchers, when the students who are receiving these are already in private schools, it's not like they're moving from public schools to private schools.
No, right.
And that, when folks hear that, they're shocked. When they see it on their property tax bills, they see it, and they're pissed, and they have a right to be pissed.
Yeah, and I got a shout out to the Green Bay School District and the folks in Green Bay that put that line on property tax bills to show how much is actually being taken off. Because, you know, when all these voucher that program was put in, I think, you know, it was polished. You know, this is a great thing, school choice. And now here we are 15 years later, we're like, boy, that was stupid.
Well, and these schools are choosing their students.
Yeah.
They can discriminate. Yeah. They can write in fine print, okay, we can't tell you can't come because you're queer or you're Black, but once you're in, we can kick you out.
Right.
And
we just don't align with our values.
No.
You know? Yeah.
It's about fairness. Honestly, at this point, it's about corruption too. And mm-hmm. it is hurting our kids.
Yeah. There's so much I think that is a massive, massive topic that affects almost all communities in the state of Wisconsin. So we're sitting here with Rep. Francesca Hong. She's running for governor. First place, Francesca, I should say. And we have so much more to talk about. We're going to talk about electability and how do we get the message out to moderates, and we're gonna do some quick hits and talk about Francesca changing a tire at a dirt track coming up here in So stick around on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Playing the hits here on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. I'm just kidding. I would love to be a DJ, you know? Yeah.
You do have a little bit of that voice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think that would be so much fun, you know? But then I would say something political or stupid, and I would lose my job. But, you know, hey, It's okay. So you guys got a dream, right?
We're on the Russian Revolution. Does it even exist anymore? Are you all actually going to get fined if you're on the radio and you swear?
I don't know. I mean, well, it depends. Producer Dominic's like, yep, absolutely we will. Yes. It depends if Brendan Carr is listening or not, I guess. We got Russian Revolution. We're talking about State Rep. Francesca Hong. Who's running for governor. She's in first place in like three polls in a row. So this is a big, I think a big moment for your campaign, and a big moment for Wisconsin. Cause they're so, politics is changing. I think, you know, the winds of change are blowing really. I believe that very much. And I think, you know, it's interesting how to get your message in front of people. And when I was back in my Republican days, I always say I was a terrible Republican, but I don't think I was.
Does that mean you're a Democrat?
Like, I don't know, man. I was someone who I believed in marriage equality and I believed in women's rights. Mm-hmm. And I was very loud about those opinions in packed rooms that really didn't want to talk about that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I always approached it like, you know, there is a conservative argument for marriage equality, right? You know, it's the Republicans that don't want the big bad government telling them what to do. What is more personal than the government saying you cannot marry the person that you love, right? So
well,
there's conservative
Republicans are all about government telling you what to do.
Well, right, yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yes. Tariff me, daddy. But so like, yeah,
not funny because what it's doing to our small businesses
and specifically
our farmers, it is devastating and frankly disgusting what the regime is doing.
Between tariffs and then we had a guy on who you should talk to too, because there was a gentleman who he's a farm consultant, and it's like I think one out of every eight dairy cows in the country is under his care. He's up in Okano. He's brilliant. He is freaking brilliant. He was on the show. He's a good friend of mine. And he was saying about how...
Can I meet him?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll connect you guys. Absolutely. His name is Dan. He's awesome. And he's so smart. But he was talking about how ice was decimating farms. And like not screw fertilizer, but like they have to have someone to pick, you know, to work the fields and to feed the cows and to do. And he told a story about just a small dairy farm in Wisconsin. It was a father and a daughter, and they had like 10 employees, and one day they were gone. And so, you know, he was like, I don't know, I can't do all of this work. I don't know what to do, you know? And so, yeah, it's crazy. But so you're talking about expanding your message and all of that. How do you get your message? I mean, you know, Tom Tiffany's going, oh, Dane County Democrats, some BS like that. How do you fight that?
Okay, pedophile protector.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, there's that. Huh? But how do you...
Me being a liberal from Dane County is really the big issue here.
Right. I mean, there's that.
I think for us, it's three-pronged. It's having amazing volunteers who are ambassadors for the campaign, reaching people that I may never be able to reach, whether it's convincing a more conservative or someone who is just very skeptical about politics or Democrats. When you have someone who's close to you talking about it, it doesn't always work. I know families who have been torn apart by MAGA, but...
Oh. Yeah.
I think especially the multi-generational aspect, when you've got a young person and there's just so much people judge that young folks are not paying attention or they don't care. They mm-hmm. care so much because we are deciding their future for them when they should be a part of the conversation and looked at as partners. And we really, really appreciate all the young folks who are working with us, and we're learning from them. And they, like I said, they're sending their parents to our events. So having those ambassadors is key. And then the other piece is meeting people where they are includes on the internet. And we invested very early in our digital program so that folks could know who I was and how to reach me and how I was accessible. My Instagram DMs are still open. That's the only one I can still control. that's key. And we knew that, you know, I had low name recognition. And in order to get some of that name ID up, we had to reach folks through social media. And, you know, the other piece is I have to be everywhere. I have to meet people and have one-on-one conversations. The town halls are more important to me than going into a space, giving them a 10-minute stump and walking out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying candidates do that, but I do know that, you know, people want to maximize their time and get in front of a lot of folks. But for me, spending more time in front of a small group, answering questions for an hour, much to the dismay sometimes of the campaign, because who knows what I'm going to say. But that gives me more time to show folks that I'm just an average person trying to make things a whole lot better for working class people, because I am one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is quite a moment to do a lot of things, you know, and you know what I mean? But like, because, you know, and I want to talk about this on the other side of the break. You know, this could be a seismic moment for all of Wisconsin to do some big things. This could be the year that the assembly flips and the state senate flips. And my God, if we got the governorship, you know, and this could be a big deal. As Joe Biden once said, it's a BFD. I can't. So if I say that on the air, I will get fined. But I'm not going to, Dominic. I'm not going to. We're going to talk about this on the other end of the break here on the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker, you got Francesca Hong, and we will be right back. Welcome back. Still playing the hits. Rational Revolution, you got Mark Becker, you've got State Rep Francesca Hong. We're talking about the governor's race. We're talking about all sorts of fun things. So we were talking about how this could be a big year for Wisconsin. I think a huge theme could also be like the seismic shift. And you see rats jumping off the ship. You got majority leader in the assembly and the Senate leaving and all these people that, because it just can't bear to be in the minority party and to be treated the way that they have treated others for the last decade and a half. You know, that's
interesting. They're telling on themselves.
They're telling
on themselves that they don't know how to work without cheating, without
bullying people.
And without bullying people. And I think that, you know, especially for Voss, he's not going to work unless he's the one making all of the decisions. So there is a huge opportunity here to completely transform the way that we do politics here in Wisconsin. And if we can make this happen, our trifecta in November, I think that politics across the country is going to change.
Yeah. Dude, if people knew how Democrats were treated by Republicans the last 15 years, from like everything from the offices that they gave Democrats to the staff to, you know, you can't even have put a bill out unless you give it to a Republican. Please, sir, can you get this to the floor?
It's, you know? Obscene. Like,
it's bad. It's so bad. Why, and this is a question, why make this change now, when you could be in the majority in the assembly? Is this a big move?
It's because I am not, and I'm saying it right here, March 26, 10:34 in the morning, I'm not going to be making decisions based on what I need in my political future.
All right, on.
It's, we need folks who are going to make decisions that are politically uncomfortable. We need people who are going to make decisions and actually have share the expectations publicly about what we can do in this state and not be told otherwise. And I think that when we talk about permanent affordability, universal childcare, paid leave for all, healthy school meals for all, expanding Badger Care plus a public option, plus making sure that we're moving towards holding hospitals accountable and insurance companies accountable, and that we're going to have a plan to make sure that, you know, billionaires who are trying to push for AI don't control our state. And I think folks are ready for a different type of politician to lead. And I am not your average politician.
No, you are. No, you're not. But it's, and how do you get through the primary?
Hustle.
Yeah.
We out-hustle everyone, and we remain radically welcoming. I mean, folks in our coalition are of all different generations, are may not have voted the way that I did in 2024, folks who are incredibly disillusioned and frustrated by both parties, and they're seeing that change can happen. I mean, now I have, you know, a proof of concept with what Mayor Mamdani is doing in New York City. And I'm not making promises that we're going to do the way that, you know, how he operates it. Local and state are very different. Mm-hmm. But that maybe when we've been told that we can't have something, that the state can't provide something, that government can be a force of good, more people are saying that's BS. And they're demanding better. They're demanding better because they deserve better.
When you look at moderates, you know, people that are in the middle, kind of politically homeless, or, you know, are you seeing people come to your events and being like, well, that wasn't so bad, you know, something like that?
I kind of see the wheels turning a bit, right? Like, corruption, bad. And cheating, bad. You know, fair wages, better for small businesses? I think so. And there is a common villain here. I keep saying that the billionaires and the corrupt federal regime, I think that people are starting to get that the state can do so much more to help protect us, both financially, to make it so that we can be able to take care of ourselves and our loved ones and not be so stressed. When I talk about rest being a right, it might sound radical, but to have to work so hard to save up and wonder if you can have a vacation, you know, there are realizations now that the system is rigged and there are ways that we can unrig it, and it has to happen at the state. And then for us to make sure our local municipalities have what they need to change the policies that impact people's lives. I mean, potholes.
Yeah.
Your city got more money from the state, because right now the state has been hoarding money from our cities. It's that resonates with folks. Or if they're like, you know, scary socialist, I'm like, even if you're a Republican, I want you to have fair, cheaper healthcare. I want you to have, you know, roads that don't have potholes. I want you to have good libraries, and for your taxes not to go up, and certainly your taxes not to pay for tax breaks for trillionaires and billionaires.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'd make the comment a lot where it's like, Republicans aren't even acting like Republicans. And if Republicans acted like a Republican, then I think a lot more would get done. Yeah. And I think that they, you know, we'd be a lot closer to each other than you think. But now, how do you think that taxing the effing billionaires, is that the secret sauce to doing it? Diane Hendricks is going to be really mad at you, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think she's a team
hong. Yeah. Let me tell you.
But the thing is, when John things Menard's are better, I talk about him probably. He's probably more upset with me than Diane, honestly.
Really?
Well, I've dropped his name a couple times. I've brought up how he sits back and watches his wealth grow and then scams people with that rebate program.
That is such a scam. Yes.
It is a super scam. The thing is, they...
But it's 11%.
They rely on workers. And if their workers have a good quality of life, they're probably going to stay like in the community that they're at or at the job that they're at. It just for folks to realize that we're a whole lot more connected to each other, and the people who are disconnected, the people who are out of touch, are the billionaire, multimillionaire class, the ultra rich, who don't work as hard, watch their wealth grow, and don't want things for us because they only want things for themselves.
How much can the state grow in their budget and fix the budget holes by doing that?
We've got our how do we pay for it plan going right now. But if we were to tax the billionaires with just under a 1% increase, I think it's between like 0.7 and 0.8. And we added a multimillionaire class, like an additional tax bracket, we would be able to put enough money into our schools to lower property taxes by up to 44%.
Wow.
You fund our schools, your property tax go down.
Yeah.
That special education reimbursement is so key here because it gives schools a little bit more flexible funding and makes sure that all of our kids have what they need.
Talk about that. Why is that important? Why is that such a key?
Because if you look at strong public schools make for strong communities. People move into communities because there are great schools. People move into communities because there are good parks, there are good libraries where, there's a lot more to offer for the public. Being a socialist to me is being pro-public. And I think that when we're seeing, fewer folks moving to this state, we have an aging state, within 5 to 10 years, we're gonna have more folks over the age of 65 than folks who are under the age of 18. We need to make Wisconsin a desirable place to live, and that is not going to happen under Republican rule and under Republican legislation.
Do you think if you get through the primary, how they're gonna just try to slaughter you on the socialist thing?
Mm-hmm.
How do you, I know you guys are gonna team that up better than I ever could, but how do you overcome that? Not that it's something to overcome, but because to some people it will.
Stay disciplined on the plan. We're not just saying we're going to do these things. We have a plan for it, where universal childcare is an economic policy. We want to make sure that workers have childcare so they can go to work. We want to make sure that everyone has fair, cheaper healthcare so we can be healthy. Again, if you make an economic argument, because money is the universal language, when we talk about public schools lowering property taxes, when we talk about a public bank giving reliable financing to developers to build more housing, when we talk about how, paid leave for all so that you do not have to choose between taking care of your aging parent or yourself when you're sick and going to work and have to, you can't give up a paycheck. This is what we're concerned with. Mm-hmm. Even the people who are calling me a socialist or a commie, I want them to have these things too, because the government should work for them, especially when Wisconsinites are working so hard.
You have a section in your policy that I like, where you talk about small business, and I run a car dealership, and there are times the person that I bought the dealership from is a terrible person and took advantage of a lot of people, and so I had to do a ton of name rehab and all of that, and so there were times where we really struggled. And finding financing is hard. It's really, really hard.
And the interest rates are insane.
Yes, right. It's like, 12% or 50, like it's horrible. And it's hard enough to run a business. And I want to pay my people living wages and make sure that they don't need to find other work. I want them to be okay for them and their family. that's hard enough as it is. Mm-hmm. Then throw in, you know, trying to get financing. So like, that's a big deal too. And I think that
a public option would help small businesses, right? Yeah. Especially those of us who have fewer than 50 employees. I mean, it is so expensive to offer healthcare benefits as a small business. And here's the thing, turnover has cost. When you cannot retain your employees, those are dollars being lost for your business. And beyond the moral argument here, there is an additional economic argument for a public bank with low interest, predictable financing, stable financing. And the public bank, we would be working with credit unions, and it would be run by finance experts. We're not talking about government appointees here. We're talking about people from the private sector to help run a public bank that is fair, more small business friendly, and would help us actually build more affordable housing.
Yeah. We got one more segment here with State Rep. Francesca Hong. We're going to do some quick hits, talk about how she beats Trump endorsed Tom Tiffany. So stick around for that. We'll be right back on The Rational Revolution on Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What up? You got The Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, if you liked this and you want to hear more, all these episodes are available on civicmedia.us. Like, share all of the things. Yeah, we got my friend Francesca Hahn. We're going to do some quick hits. All right, so coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Coffee, hell yeah. Early mornings or late nights?
Late nights.
Mm-hmm. What is a book or a podcast you'd recommend other than, of course, this one?
Ooh, Milked by Ruth Conniff. Reminded me that you mentioned dairy farmers earlier.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that offline. Biggest lesson you've learned in office?
Persistence. Mm. If you can't get a Republican to talk to you on the floor, try to talk to them in a bar.
Yeah. And then one word to describe Wisconsin right now.
Unique. Mm. We're always going to be a bit of a political enigma.
Yes.
And I point to Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson being the senator from Wisconsin. People can't figure us out, and I kind of love that.
I do love that, too. I also loved Ron Johnson's on his last term. So, you know, whether he likes it or not, baby. Yeah.
One, I forgot to mention this. When people ask me about socialism, I say Green Bay Packers.
Oh, for real? Yeah.
Our publicly owned NFL team. What a massive middle finger to the NFL and all those, you know, the money that company brings in. I mean, they are a mega corporation. And I think it's amazing that the loyalty to a team and their loyalty to their community is because they're publicly owned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking about, you're running for governor in the race. On the other side, we have Trump endorsed Tom Tiffany. Personally, I think that's about the worst candidate that they could come up with other than maybe Glenn Grothman.
Oh, I mean, he wouldn't really want to leave his mother's basement too much. The state.
Can confirm that's a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
When he goes after the nuclear family, and I'm like, bro, like, what do you know about that? Same with Voss, like thrice divorced Voss, like, don't come after single moms.
Mm-hmm. You've created a couple of, sorry. that just came out. So with Tom Tiffany, what is the clearest contrast that you would like people to see? Other than everything.
Oh my gosh. The clearest contrast is he's a master manipulator. He's a liar. Mm-hmm. He does not care about Wisconsin, and his votes in Congress prove it. And just on policy wise, he thinks cannabis melts your brain. And I would
really?
full legalization of
cannabis. Yeah. What a thing. Like, think of you talk about tax, the entire industry that can be created on day freaking one. And we're not sending millions of dollars to
hundreds of millions of dollars, yes, of revenue which is coming in.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I have a clip of Tom. I'll send you that. I have a clip of Tariff Trump Tom talking about cannabis at UW-Madison.
Really?
That. Yeah.
That's a odd choice of places to make that comment.
Yeah. I mean, he will never put Wisconsinites first. He will always be answering to Trump. So that's the clearest contrast, is that he answers to Trump and Trump's cronies, and that's it.
Yeah. Right. And I think I had a conversation. I talked about it here on the air. I had a conversation with Tommy Thompson, who said that Tom Tiffany can't win. You know, and yeah, I don't think he would. What's the path to getting voters who supported Republicans in the past? In like a general.
First of all, Tom Tiffany will not win.
Yeah, no, he won't. I don't. Yeah.
No. And for Republicans who are looking for an alternative, I think it is someone who is going to actually bring the state together to get things done. We need to deliver for Wisconsinites and make sure they feel and see material conditions change in their lives. And whether that's in healthcare, whether that's in supporting our small businesses, whether that's in childcare or public education, senior care, I think that care policies, Republicans actually hearing about the plan and the policy, but also making sure that they feel like, you know, they're not just voting for a Democrat or Republican, they're running for somebody who wants to get done.
Yeah. And I think it's so important because Republicans don't even know sometimes of the policies that Republicans have supported and why it hurts. You know, it's just this tribalism of like, oh, they're a Democrat. Oh my God, she's a socialist. And it's like, well, yeah, my taxes keep going up. Bro, that ain't her fault. You know?
Yeah. But the thing is, we have the plan to bring those taxes down, right? And where you can, as a small business, you're not paying a higher income tax rate than the mega corporations, that you have representatives who are actually going to fight for the farm bill, because we're going to build a coalition and actually organize around these policies.
How do people see you?
Legislators.
Right. How do people see you? How do people meet you?
They can go to francescahong.com/events of where we'll be next. Follow us on social media at @FrancescaHongWI and talk to your neighbors. Some of them might already know thee.
Right on. And oh my God, we didn't even talk. She's going to be hanging out with me at the Racetrack 141 Speedway. She'll
in
be
May.
In May. Yes. She's going to change a tire, maybe have a beer in the pits afterwards.
Yes. And they have High Life?
Dude, oh my God. Hold on.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
That's champagne the best. Of beers.
Yes. Right on. All right. Thank you all so much for listening to Rational Revolution. Thank you, Francesca Hong. And we will see you next week on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Take care, y'all.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.